you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about a wife's temptations. I read you a letter yesterday about what happens when women rule the church. And today, I have a letter about what happens when women rule the home. And I confessed yesterday that there is certainly in me that spirit of rivalry. I have always been a very competitive kind of a person. Not an admirable quality at all in one who wants to be a godly woman. In Mary, we see nothing like that. In Eve, that is exactly what we do see, a spirit of rivalry with God to start with. And then, of course, she took the initiative where she should have been submissive to her husband, and her husband was not accepting the headship that God had given to him, and so both fell, having reversed the roles in the Garden of Eden. Adam appointed to be the initiator, and Eve appointed to be the responder. Well, things get messier and messier as the centuries roll on. So let me read you this letter now about what happens when women rule in the home. I love my wife deeply, he says. We have been married for X number of years, quite a few. In the early years of our marriage, I was a drunkard and an adulterer. About a year after accepting Christ in 1980, the Lord brought me to confession of my sins to my wife. It was a time of fear, trembling, and tears, forgiveness, joy, and peace. Though I had hurt her deeply, she forgave me. We began to experience the Lord's healing in our marriage. For a year or so, things were beautiful. We were both growing in the Lord. Early on, I was impressed to accept headship in our home. I use accept instead of impose, for the teaching on submission is from the Lord to wives. It does not command husbands to force their wives into submission. And I say amen to that. That is a point that men do need to be very clear about. The Bible does not command husbands to force their wives into submission. The command is to the wife to submit to her husband. And the command to the husband is to love his wife. My wife has always had a tendency to criticize. Her mother is very critical and rules her home with an iron rod. I believed that in time the Lord would correct this problem. As we became more involved with our church, the problem became worse. It seems as though the more the Lord replaced my heart of stone for one of flesh, the more my wife's criticisms cut deeply. At first, her criticisms were private. Though I studied the scriptures carefully before teaching and was under the leadership of our church, she began to correct what I said and how I said it, publicly as well as privately. I sang too loudly or too softly, said too much or not enough. After 7 years, I withdrew from church involvement to limit the pain. Though we spoke many times about the problem, we were unable to come to a reconciliation. She sees nothing wrong with correcting me in public. It was simply easier for me to withdraw than to react in like manner and criticize my wife. Well, I don't think he only had two choices, either withdrawing or criticizing his wife. He could have stayed there and not criticized his wife, but I will carry on. Of course, I am criticized for not attending church. As it is written, Proverbs 25:24, better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Each time we visit my in-laws' home, the problem becomes worse. In private, I can endure. Publicly and professionally, I cannot. Though I was a leader in our church and presently am in a position of leadership in my work, I am denied leadership in our home. Am I an ideal husband? Obviously not. It is by grace that I am saved. My earnest prayer is that the Lord mold me to be a Christ-like husband for my wife. To keep peace, I have withdrawn rather than continue the confrontation. 1 Timothy 3:12 says, a deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. In this I have failed. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And I find that I am continuing to keep a record of wrongs. This I must release. I wish I knew how to bring about surrender in my wife, tenderly. Parenthesis, may I strongly urge any men who may be listening to this program and have similar difficulties to make sure that you get the little leaflet available from Gateway to Joy called Do You Love Me? It is a magnificent testimony of one man of how God transformed not only his life, but his marriage and their whole home life, and how God taught him to love his wife in a way that he had never been able to do before. Of course, if a man loves his wife as Christ loved the church, the problems would be greatly reduced. Even though Christ loves us, we don't necessarily shape up very quickly, do we? But when a man begins to love his wife as Christ loved the church, it can transform a marriage. Back to this man's letter. I know that my wife does not understand the pain she inflicts. The power of the tongue is devastating. She is following the teaching from the home of her youth. She sees the error of dominance in her mother and the resulting impotence of her father. And yet the teaching prevails. The role as mother's daughter is larger than husband's wife. There should be no competition set between a daughter's husband and her parents. Such destroys any chance of love. Marriage should not deny a daughter's love for her parents, nor should her love for her parents deny her love for her husband. Ephesians 5:31, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This instruction is specifically addressed to men. Doesn't the wisdom apply to both? Should any conflict ever exist between myself and your wife, you must support your wife. That was the teaching of my mother. There was never any conflict, never any competition. Your series, Me, Obey Him, has brought our problem into the open again. I have read the book, and my wife is currently reading it. I pray that it will open both of our eyes. Please continue your ministry to husbands by speaking plainly to them and to their wives. Please address this further in your teaching as the Lord enables you. Perhaps hearing you will bring understanding and balance, not only for us, but for others who struggle with the same battles. A sad and not unusual story, a sample of a husband's difficulties when the wife wears the pants. And we go back again to that statement which brought me up short, that a wife's greatest temptation is to be a rival to her husband. And I have to say, God forgive me for that spirit of rivalry that I have probably exhibited in three different marriages with three very different husbands. My first husband was murdered. My second husband died of cancer. And in each case, my present husband, of course, is still alive and wonderfully involved in the work that the Lord has given to both of us. But I'm thinking of my arguments with my mother, my thrill when I was appointed to the debate team in high school, then my great pride when I won a championship in debating in college. That spirit is there, and it has been cultivated and nurtured, and I'm trying to bring it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, so please pray for me. But why do you think the Lord made these strange rules that women must submit to their husbands, and that men must love their wives as Christ loved the church? Because of the mystery. That's the answer. It's right there in Ephesians 5. Paul gives us the instructions, one command for the wife to submit to her husband, one command to the husband to love her as Christ loved the church. And then he says, as though he's exhausted all possible vocabulary, I speak concerning the mystery of Christ and the church. It is because femininity represents the bride of Christ, and masculinity represents the groom, or Christ himself. That's why. It's not because God made us less competent than our husbands. It is because we embody, we figure, we represent the church, the whole church throughout all the world, which is the bride of Christ. And the church submits to Christ. So the wife is to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.